My wish for all of this is that our organization, the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine, can collaborate with the informatics committee at ACP that you're a part of, and with Doctors AI in India, and that through our combined efforts, we can truly make the world a better place and save millions of lives worldwide by doing AI for good and reaching out to every nation and to provide care to those that might not have access to care.
What I will say is, it all starts with education. So I think, you know, the American College of Artificial Intelligence is leading the path on that. I think the more we educate our future workforce around AI, the better it, the more promising the landscape will be for future of healthcare. And the reason I am optimistic is, you know, AI is going to be embedded into our day-to-day lives. So what better opportunity than catching them young and teaching them all the tools that will be available, and for our students to get comfortable with these tools as they come into the workforce.
And I strongly believe that AI is here for good, especially in the field of healthcare. I don't know about the other sectors. AI is here to augment the performance and the capabilities of a physician and a clinician. It is not here to replace us, and it will never will. This is something that we all must firmly believe. While we believe in this, I strongly feel that education is going to be the key. And the way we look at artificial intelligence as physicians and as clinicians, the way we learn about it, it's going to be very important, a determinant factor as to how we are going to adopt it. Whether you are a medical student, whether you are a postgrad student or an undergrad student or a clinician or a senior fellow, senior physician, I think it starts with being curious. This is where most of us started. We were curious as to what this is and how it works, and that's what led us to go along the path. So you start being curious, you start knowing what it can bring, and have the appetite to explore and adopt it and adapt your surroundings with it. And I think this is the way forward, possibly the best way forward, and something that is going to be remarkable for the history of medicine, hopefully for the first time. I think internet was one big discovery. I think artificial intelligence is another big one. And this is possibly truly going to be transforming medicine from the way we look at it.
Okay, hello, welcome. This is Dr. Ann Slusseritis. I'm an internist for over 20 years and currently the vice president of the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine. And with me is Dr. Spiceman.
Hi, Mal Spiceman, president of the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine. And thanks for listening to the podcast today. We have the pleasure of having two guests.
So we have Dr. Deepti Pandita and Dr. Amit Kumarde. And I think we'll start with Dr. Deepti. We want to give a little history about her.
Yeah, so Dr. Pandita is from the University of California, Irvine, but more importantly, she is the chief medical information officer and also vice president of informatics. And although she's at Irvine, she is truly implementing this system-wide, so we'll be hearing from her. And Dr. Amit Kumarde is an endocrinologist who has an organization for Doctors for AI in India and is known throughout the globe for his leadership in AI and medicine. And Anne's going to kick it off with the first question.
So welcome, both of you. We're thrilled to have you here and excited. And Deepti, I wanted to ask you a question. I saw your talk at ACP, and one thing that was very interesting to me was the way one of the talks began, that the speaker took a survey of the room and asked everyone to give a couple words on the screen. They were using the automated silo. Silo, was that the, yes, silo. to give a few words on their thoughts about AI. So some of them had mentioned, some of them had mentioned that they were excited, they were scared, frightened. And I thought that was really interesting to ask everybody and take a survey, because I know everybody's at a different level. So I wanted to ask you, what are your concerns that you are addressing with physicians regarding AI, their thoughts on AI?
Yeah, absolutely. First, thank you for having me on. The ACP meeting was an eye-opener because, you know, we have assumptions about what physicians think about AI, and then you poll, you know, 300, 400 people in the audience, and it's sort of either reaffirming or myth-busting in terms of what they are thinking. But this is reflected, you know, everywhere. I mean, I give talks all over the country in my own institution, and I would start with saying, one, physicians don't even understand what we are asking when we say, what are your thoughts about AI? Because AI has so many layers and so many components. So I think just casually saying, what are your thoughts about AI, doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of the question. And then secondly, people are apprehensive because there is this new tool which is promising, exciting, but then they also don't know, because, you know, clinicians are trained, physicians trained to do no harm, and they just don't know it, one, if it is actually indeed in the wheelhouse of the do no harm dictum. And then secondly, they are apprehensive, will it replace me? So those are the two biggest concerns I hear everywhere.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Amit, could you answer the same question? Responses from physicians you speak with on their thoughts.
Hi, everyone, and hi, Mel and Anne. It's so great to be on the podcast with you folks, and hi, Deepthi. So my first thoughts to this question is, physicians are curious, they are excited, they are also apprehensive about what's coming on the way, but they are quite excited to look at it, learn from it, and try to adopt with it. I think this is the kind of feeling that I always get. And in my journey as the founder chair of Doctors AI, an AI entrepreneur, and also you would be aware that we have also started the academic wing of Doctors AI as the Indian College of Artificial Intelligence in Medicine. In my journey of 3 years in Doctors AI, we have realized this, that this is a stepping stone in the field of medicine that every physician, every clinician, every practitioner wants to take, but they need to be guided as to how to go about with this. And I think this whole buzz started with generative AI coming into existence, and then suddenly people started realizing that, hey, there's something really different happening here compared to what it was happening in the earlier days when it was only conventional machine learning. So possibly there is a possibility that this might transform medicine, and there's a huge potential out. Now, our responsibility is with us to establish the science and weave the evidence around it. So I see a lot of curiousness, I see a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of interest, a lot of apprehension at the same time, and also a lot of fear. So it's a mixed emotions that I see, and I think it's going to evolve as we go along.
Great, thank you. So I just want to make one comment before we do another question, that we had a booth at ACP, and there was so much excitement. Now, maybe it's biased because anybody coming up to our booth was interested in AI, but there was so much enthusiasm, and it was very refreshing. But we did have a few people that came up and said, we don't know a single thing about AI, but we want to learn. Where can we sign up? And that was really exciting for us to hear that and to be a part of maybe changing someone's outlook about this and changing their practice. So go ahead, Mel.
Great. So one thing that the four of us have in common is we're all very active in American College of Physicians. Anne and I have attended the meeting together for 25 consecutive years. And I want to just ask our guests today to speak to the fact that the ACP, through the leadership of DeepT and the Informatics Committee, put out in June of last year a position paper on AI addressing some of these issues that you guys started to talk about. DeepT, can you give some of the key takeaways of this paper that you published in the Annals of Internal Medicine?
Yeah, thank you. That paper was a labor of love, and it took a lot of thought process and oversight to publish that, because we had input from not just physicians on the Medical Informatics Committee. We engaged practicing physicians in the trenches. We engaged the ACP Ethics Committee. We engaged the ACP Regulatory and Policy Group. So it was a combined effort. And the key takeaways were, one, we call it augmented intelligence. We do not want AI to be a replacement for the human in the loop. We want to make sure that AI is not at a point where we can consider it autonomous. Physician oversight is still important. So that was one key takeaway. The second key takeaway was physicians also need to be educated and be comfortable using these tools in a manner that they can explain the use of the tools to their patients, which is something we often forget, because you may be using a lot of Gen AI or even machine learning tools, but in order to be totally trustworthy and transparent with this use, you have to be able to explain it as to why you are using the tool to your patients. And then the third aspect was AI should still not be under the guardrails of what we call confidentiality, patient-provider, relationship. It should not be where we are not following, good data guardrails around privacy and all the other components. So I would say those were the three key takeaway points.
Okay, great. Amit, can I just ask you about your thoughts on AI and education?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important segments that we all need to start brainstorming on. Yes. So I would start by saying there are two aspects to it. Of course, one is AI education for medical professionals, and the second aspect is, of course, involving AI in medical education. So I'll just go with the first aspect, and I think one thing is very clear to us now that we have seen over the last 1.5 years evolving is that AI education is a must for all physicians, all clinicians who are going to be practicing as they go forward, especially the next generation doctors who are graduating out of medical school. So with this, we at Doctors AI, we started something called AI Primer in medical colleges, which kind of consists of 2 to 3 hours of a compact session with undergraduate and postgraduate medical students in their own college, where we induct them with the idea of AI coming into healthcare or medicine as a whole. So that's where it starts. It starts with understanding the basics of artificial intelligence, getting yourself a little familiar with the terminologies, machine learning, deep learning, et cetera, and relational neural network. And then people keep asking me that, is it really important for us to know this? Well, yes, you need to be bilingual in today's world. You need to understand the technical jargon as much as you appreciate and understand the medical jargon. So that is the need of the hour, and there's no excuse why you should not, because whether we want to like it or not, there is artificial intelligence, and it will be there in every domain of medicine and every specialty and subspecialty that we can think of. So yes, there needs to be AI education in the medical curriculum. The question now comes is, how do you incorporate this? Because medical curriculum is itself an exhaustive curriculum, and students are usually burnt out in their 5 or 6 years of medical school. So there could be a multiple ways. And even in Doctors AI, we had kind of created a structure where there could be three layers of AI education being started. The basic one, of course, is getting yourself familiar. The second is where you start understanding how to use AI in your day-to-day creativity and productivity of medical education and medical practice. For example, how to use it to read a paper, to write a summary, to make a summary out of your textbook, etc. And third is, of course, for a niche group who would want to explore AI into hands-on deployment, into get more learning of machine learning and deep learning and deploying of that. So that could be one way of structuring it. The second segment is bringing artificial intelligence in medical education system. So that's again a whole new domain which opens up teaching with augmented reality, with virtual reality, with the generative AI, and I think it's for good. But how we are going to bring that transition on, because this is a phase where practically the teacher learns with the student. And it's an evolution of both the teacher and the student, how they teach and how they learn. So I think this is also something that's going to be very, very interesting. And both these aspects will keep on developing. And I'm very happy to share with the three of you that most of the medical colleges that we have visited are very keen to adopt. They're very keen to learn as to how this can be incorporated. So now we have a huge request coming from different parts of the country to host Doctor's AI Primer in their medical colleges for their medical students. And we will continue to do this because our vision is to educate the medical fraternity, as we believe strongly that it's artificial intelligence for the doctors by the doctors. But I believe it's a start and miles to go for us.
That sounds like a fabulous program. As you're speaking, it sounds wonderful for the students. I'm wondering about the older physicians and the teachers. Do they feel that they may be behind because the students will end up knowing maybe more than they do? How do we reach the attendings, the teachers?
Yes. So, and this is a common concern, and I have always felt this vibe whenever we have gone for a primer. I've always felt that the teachers feel that they're falling short. The professors sometimes kind of, there is also a little bit of difficulty in trying to understand that, is this really good? Is this ethically correct? Is there an ethical guardrail that should be put in? So all those questions comes in. So in each of the primer, you know, we also keep a panel discussion on ethics where we involve the administrative heads, the departmental heads of the medical college, and some of the AI experts from Doctors AI to have a front-on discussion, you know, what's good, what's bad. But one common thing I've seen amongst everyone is that everybody wants to learn and everybody wants to know about it. Yes, the way we teach a student will be a little different than the way we would teach AI to a teacher or to a senior professor. But if you are aware of the recent course that we have started at Doctors AI, the certificate course of artificial intelligence in medicine, which is actually a 3-month course, and it's a weekend lecture, 2 hours a lecture every weekend, followed by a capstone project and a self-assessment. And then it also leads to a final exam that they need to do. The first batch, which is with us, has got three clinicians who are above the age of 60 years who are part of the batch as students. So I believe this defines that there is no age bar to learn. And every individual, whether it's an undergraduate student or a postgraduate student or a senior clinician, is willing to learn and they're willing to adopt something, a new technology that is possibly going to transform the way we practice medicine going forward.
Great. Well, I want to continue this theme of education. And the way we approach it is we look at it at three levels. We have a UME, a GME, and a CME strategy. So for undergraduate medical education, Ann and I go live or do virtual talks at medical schools around the nation, just like you're doing, Amit. And for Texas Tech, they actually have us working with the M1 class, integrating it into the curriculum really early. For the GME, graduate medical education for residents, we are one of the first, if not the first, to go live to residency programs in internal medicine to teach AI. We go to 5 different hospitals live in the Chicago area and do other ones remotely. And what our chief residents presented at the internal medicine program directors meeting the day following ACP, our poster of our curriculum for resident education. And then the part that all of us share in common here is this lifelong learning, or CME, for attendings. So we are going to have a conference that gives CME credit in September, the 19th and 20th, at Chicago McCormick Place. I know, Amit, you do CME-related activities, but I want to speak to what Deepti is doing and ask her about that. So Deepti not only attends and teaches at ACP, but she also does for the informatics organizations and other national meetings. Deepti, can you speak to the lifelong learner, the continuing medical education work that you have done, and specifically, we all just came back from ACP with you. Can you give us some key takeaways from the 3 talks that you hosted at ACP as part of AI and informatics?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for asking that. So, you know, I am involved with ACP. I'm also involved with the HIMSS, as well as, you know, involved locally with, you know, a lot of academic institutions, because I am at an academic university. We do local talks within our community at UC, University of California wide system. You know, we have several systems as part of the UC portfolio. And then, you know, grand rounds and things for other organizations locally. There is a lot of community hospitals here that have asked me to present grand rounds because they're just curious about what AI is. But coming back to the ACP meeting, so we did a talk for the early career physicians, which was very successful. We had a standing room only audience where we presented the good, bad, ugly, you know, so what is AI? So we were trying to do some myth busting, and the key takeaway from that myth busting session was at the heart of it, AI is math, it's not magic. So people were very curious about that aspect. The second was the autonomous versus human in the loop components of AI. And that, I think, assured people that they could have some trust. And then the third aspect we presented is, you know, just in time use cases that they could go back and implement into their practices right away. So those were the 3 components of that early career physician talk. And then we did a talk for a lot of practicing physicians in the audience around how to drive clinical efficiency using AI. And that was using, you know, chatbots or AI generated augmented responses to your patient messages with oversight, how to use AI for ambient documentation, how to use AI for, you know, note summarization. So this is where I have done a lot of work and research on, you know, comparing ambient tools, time savings using ambient tools. We were one of the early pilot sites here at the University of California, Irvine, on ART, which is augmented response technology for patient-generated messages that they're sending to their providers. And we have shown that on an average, you can save, you know, 20 to 30 minutes per day using these tools, which may seem trivial, but it's huge in the context of wellness, because 30 minutes a day, you know, over a week adds up, over a month adds up even more. And that's time you're giving back to your clinicians and your physician community, which was feeling burnt out, is now finally showing signs of some relief. And if you looked at the most recent AMA and other surveys, there is a downward trend finally in the burnout indexes. Also, we've done studies on what we call cognitive load using AI tools. And we use the NASA Task Load Index, and it has shown that at least a 1 to 2 point decline in cognitive load, both the temporal demand as well as the mental demand, if you're using an AI tool in an assisted format. So, which is very exciting. I think as these tools roll out more and more, we will see finally, you know, the clinician physician community having a sigh of relief.
Great. Well, thank you for doing that. You truly, I have to say, honestly, you are leading the nation through all these national meetings, hosting these talks. And thank you for being like the one definitely. Who at every major conference not only speaks, but pulls together panels of experts and really tackles this at a meaningful level. So, you know, we are just delighted that you're doing it and that you're including us in your work. So thank you.
Yes, I echo that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind.
Amit, can you tell us about your new title in the diabetes organization?
Oh, right. I'm very fortunate and very happy to have friends in the diabetes and endocrinology community who are quite willing to explore the potential of artificial intelligence in diabetes management and diabetes care. And from the spectrum of AI in the insulin pumps or clinical decision support system to the spectrum of chatbots in the place of diabetes self-management education, there is a huge role that artificial intelligence is playing and is going to play in the days to come. So on this context, being a member of the International Diabetes Federation, and I'm very happy that the president of the organization, Professor Peter Swartz, and the other board members have elected me as the chair of a newly formed committee, the IDF AI Technology Committee. And I will be heading this committee. And I was just recently appointed at the IDF 2025 Congress in Bangkok, which just concluded yesterday. And well, the job of this committee is going to be to understand how AI is going to be transforming diabetes care, bring in some consensus, define some policies and guardrails, which will possibly be helping developers around the world and also clinicians in the practice of diabetology to kind of frame in which way they want AI to be affecting or impacting diabetes care. And going forward, I will be having a fantastic team of physicians across the globe who will be a part of this committee. And together, over the next 2 years, we are going to be coming up with certain policies and consensus, and also some more work which are in progress, which will be the first stepping stone of structuring the science and building the evidence of incorporating artificial intelligence in diabetes care in the more responsible way, because at the end of the day, the true essence of technology, Melvin and Anne, is that it should be affordable, accessible, and available to all. And we truly believe that, especially with the mission that International Diabetes Federation carries, is that with the help of artificial intelligence, we can possibly be able to bring in equitable diabetes care distribution in all parts of the globe, and especially in the lower middle income group countries, which is a focus point of the International Diabetes Federation's mission and vision. So this is why this new committee has been formed, and I've been entrusted with this responsibility to drive it forward. And I look forward to do this with the support of my fellow peers and colleagues in the fraternity of diabetology and endocrinology.
Great. Just a follow-up to that. Our organization, the American College of AI and Medicine, has the educational arms that we talked about, and we also have a research division. And Amit, you lead the AI and Diabetes Virtual Lab Group, and we're about to publish a paper in conjunction with a student from Texas Tech named Kathan, and you and Anne and myself. Can you just, even though we haven't yet submitted it, can you give just a few words about what that paper looks like and how that might fit into the work you're going to do with the international organization?
Yes, that's a fantastic opportunity. And I'm also very happy to collaborate with the American College of Artificial Intelligence in Medicine on the Diabetes Research Lab. Before I go into the paper, I must also tell everyone that we also have the Indian College of Artificial Intelligence in Medicine now, which we have recently launched as the academic wing of Doctors AI. And Mel and Anne, we strongly believe that both our organizations are going to be working hand in hand in promoting and working on the research in different subspeciality. That was the basic vision of structuring the Indian College of Artificial Intelligence in Medicine as well. Coming back to the diabetes paper that we will be looking at, I think it's going to be a fantastic comprehensive review. And we are going to be looking at the application of machine learning as well as generative AI in diabetes care, especially in the segment of the clinical decision support system, the insulin pumps, and using machine learning for risk stratification of diabetes patients across the globe. And there is also going to be a segment that's going to look at using machine learning for prevention of diabetes. So you're possibly looking at prediction of primordial prevention of diabetes and other non-communicable diseases. What better it could be than this? And if you do a literature review, as we have done, and Ethan has done a fantastic work on this particular paper, there are fantastic evidences, there are strong evidences which are available. And it's our responsibility to bring up these evidences to light so that tomorrow when somebody is building a model around it, there is enough science and there is enough evidence to support it. And I always keep saying this, that we have been following evidence-based medicine and we will continue to follow evidence-based medicine in our practice, but possibly with a layer of data-driven, information-led, intelligence-based medicine. And artificial intelligence is possibly going to help us do that. So yes, I'm so excited to working with the lab on this paper, and we look forward to publish this soon.
Okay. Bert, Deepti, can I ask you about the role of Chief Information Officer at Academic Health Systems?
Yeah, so the Chief Medical Information Officers are responsible for procurement, deployment, assessment of all technology systems within the health ecosystem. And in my role, I'm sort of the translator between tech speak to clinical speak. And I work closely with not only the IT side of things, but also with our medical staff leadership, our department chairs and others in terms of what systems are best suited in tailored to individual departments sometimes, and also sometimes tailored at an enterprise level. So as you know, the electronic health record is the largest system in use in every health system today. However, people don't realize that apart from the electronic health record, which might be the largest software system you use, there are hundreds of other third-party things that are interfacing in. And how do you tailor them in a manner that what I call in the background or noiseless, where the physician and the patient relationship is not hampered by a third wheel in the room because all these technology systems are in place. So my role, especially when we look at AI systems, is how do we enable these systems in a manner that they are sort of in the background and not in the foreground, enabling the physician to spend more face-to-face time and quality time instead of having to face the computer all the time?
Just a follow-up to that. Most physicians that take on such a role now, if not all, complete a fellowship in informatics. I know you are a pioneer in that, especially as a woman leader. And can you speak to your views on mentoring residents to move on and to continue training in informatics? And what are your thoughts with that?
Yeah, sure. So again, it goes back to what Amit was talking about earlier. You have to prime them young. So starting at not only the UME level, but even before that, I would say even at undergrad and high school level, you have to put the plug in as to this discipline of informatics. So people often, just like they're confused about AI, when I tell them I'm an informaticist, they look at me like, what does that mean? So there is still gaps in knowledge about the discipline itself, even though it has been a subspecialty of medicine in, you know, under the American Board of Medical Specialties for at least last 15 years now. It became a board certified specialty in 2014. I was one of the first 100 or so in the country that took that board certification. And I was actually the first female program director of a clinical informatics fellowship program in the country, because at that point, there were very few systems offering fellowship. Now we have grown, I'm proud to say, about 55 plus programs offering clinical informatics fellowships. It's a 2-year fellowship. And once you complete the fellowship, you're eligible for board certification. And this is a secondary board certification apart from your primary specialty, which you could be board certified in. There was a sort of grandfathering pathway prior to the fellowship pathway being available, but that is ending this year. So as of this year onwards, fellowship will be the only path to board certification. What I also have done is create curriculum for residents as an immersion program for informatics. So even if they don't go on to fellowships, they at least are getting some idea about what clinical informatics is through those immersion curriculums. So, you know, a lot of residents have electives and things, and they could do a clinical informatics elective. At the UME level, you know, having a dedicated 4-6 week primer on informatics is what a lot of academic systems have done. So at least they're familiar with the terminology and what it means. Because a lot of people just think that informatics means you're managing the EMR, which it is not. It's all about workflows, process, people, and technology.
Thank you for that. I want to ask both of you a question right now. And Amit, I'll start with you, the same question, but name one thing on your wish list for AI 5 years from now.
Well, that's a difficult one to answer, because the way AI is evolving, what we wish today,
yes,
might just be something else that's available tomorrow. So, well, if I had to wish one thing 5 years from now, I would wish for precision medicine in its true terms, and available to each and every clinician in all parts of the globe, which from my, I would say, utopic thoughts, perhaps, I would hope would bring equitable healthcare distribution in its true sense. Take healthcare to the right person at the right point of time when they need the most. I think this is the best thing that artificial intelligence can bring in healthcare. This would be one big wish.
Well, that's a big wish. Excellent. Thank you so much. Deepti, how about you?
Yeah, I actually second that, Amit. And I would say, you know, AI can be the great divider or the great uniter. And I hope it is the latter, where, you know, today we see a lot of disparities in health, but we were not able to solve them in a good manner when digital health came into play. I'm hoping AI will be the landscape that actually breaks all barriers and, you know, is sort of the solution we have been looking for in digital health in terms of eliminating digital disparities. So I think it has the potential. We just have to tread carefully and make sure that we always keep those key principles in mind, where we have trust, transparency, explainability, while also building the education side of things.
Great. Well, I truly believe that we could achieve the goals that both of you just expressed through one thing and one thing only, which is collaboration. And when I started doing this AI work with Anne, we learned immediately that the magic happens with collaboration. We just returned from a global summit at the University of Illinois Champaign, where the dean, Mark Cohn, had traveled the globe and brought in physician leaders like yourself from many different nations to meet and collaborate. And so my vision of achieving the ends that you guys have been speaking about almost on a daily basis across the nation and across the world, the way that's going to happen is if we work together. And my wish for all of this is that our organization, the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine, can collaborate with the Informatics Committee at ACP that you're a part of, and with Doctors AI in India, and that through our combined efforts, we can truly make the world a better place and save millions of lives worldwide by doing AI for good and reaching out to every nation and to provide care to those that might not have access to care. So any final thoughts that you guys want to share with our audience?
What I will say is it all starts with education. So I think, you know, the American College of Artificial Intelligence is leading the path on that. I think the more we educate our future workforce around AI, the better it, the more promising the landscape will be for future of healthcare. And the reason I am optimistic is, you know, AI is going to be embedded into our day-to-day lives. So what better opportunity than catching them young and teaching them all the tools that will be available and for our students to get comfortable with these tools as they come into the workforce.
Yeah, I kind of completely echo with what Deepthi said, and I strongly believe that AI is here for good, especially in the field of healthcare. I don't know about the other sectors. AI is here to augment the performance and the capabilities of a physician and a clinician. It is not here to replace us, and it will never will. This is something that we all must firmly believe. While we believe in this, I strongly feel that education is going to be the key. And the way we look at artificial intelligence as physicians and as clinicians, the way we learn about it, it's going to be very important, a determinant factor as to how we are going to adopt it. So whether my fellow viewers, listeners, if whether you are a medical student, whether you are a postgrad student or an undergrad student or a clinician or a senior fellow, senior physician, I think it starts with being curious. This is where most of us started. We were curious as to what this is and how it works, and that's what led us to go along the path. So you start being curious, you start knowing what it can bring, and have the appetite to explore and adopt it and adapt your surroundings with it. And I think this is the way forward, possibly the best way forward, and something that is going to be remarkable for the history of medicine, hopefully for the first time. I think internet was one big discovery. I think artificial intelligence is another big one. And this is possibly truly going to be transforming medicine from the way we look at it.
So I do echo that. And at ACP, at our booth, we spent a long time promoting collaboration with informatics people and clinicians, and welcoming everyone who's interested to collaborate and join this promotion of artificial intelligence in medicine, and to bring everyone together. And you did mention that we have to start young. We do have college students and high school students that are joining. And I think we all need each other. Everyone's at a different level, and I think we can all learn from each other. And I hope we can do some great things and work together. And we thank both of you for joining. It's been an honor and a pleasure having you on this podcast. And we look forward to more collaboration with both of you.
Thank you so much.
To our listeners, if you like what you heard today, we'll be having a scientific session, 2-day national meeting in Chicago, September 19th and 20th. And if you come live, you can actually hear Dr. Amit Kumar Day speak about diabetes. We will have workshops where you can get hands-on experience, panel discussions. We have an abstract competition with awards, and we will be having our first class of fellows in artificial intelligence and medicine. So we hope to see you live in Chicago this September. And thanks everyone for listening today. Have a great day. Bye.